Thank you, Julia. I needed to hear that this morning. I tell you, it's amazing that the Lord loves us like He does. It seems to be a little bit of a theme this morning, Paul, when one of Paul's greatest just marks of being a shepherd and servant and just apostle was his love for the people of Corinth. In the text this morning, he's actually going to write, it's what a verse he writes to him. He says, "For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." The song before that Vaughn led us in, and that you'll know that we are Christians by the way we love one another. We're going to talk about Paul's love for the church of Corinth this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be continuing kind of what we were talking about last week, because God is establishing. I think that what we looked at last week was God's work in the hearts of and lives of people. I think we talked about Paul's travel plans, his change of plans last week. So why? So what is the huge ordeal? What is the big deal? The fact that God has established us, that is establishing. What's the big deal about Him establishing us in Christ? You know, we talked last week about Him anointing us. We talked about how He's given us this seal of ownership and protection in our life, and then He's given us the seal of His, He has sealed us by His Spirit. It's been given as a guarantee of the first fruits, Romans talks about, as something greater to come, a kind of a down payment that we've experienced in our hearts of the Holy Spirit. Why is that such a huge deal? We want to talk about that this morning, because God is establishing, because God is working. Paul is going to write to the Corinthians. If you would stand with me, and he's going to say certain things to them. He's going to act certain ways. He's going to show certain characteristics because God is working. We're going to read in 1:23 through verses 2-4. I'll be able to get away from my microphone, out from behind the pulpit a little bit this week. Last week, our batteries went out in this microphone, and when I would move away, people at home said they couldn't really hear me very good. So if I move this morning, hopefully you at home and on Facebook Live will be able to hear clearly. Let's read together. And just to add the context of this, I want to back up to verse 21, and we won't have that on the screen, but when we get to 23, you'll be able to follow along. "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." It says, "But," he says, "but I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of joy, for I felt sure of all of you, that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." God, would you bless your word and use it to transform us in the image of Christ? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul's love and care was displayed toward the people of Corinth. We see here that he adds this phrase, but I call God to witness against me. Paul is subpoenaing God to witness him as he's standing on trials, and so to speak, if you get this picture of the courtroom, to say that it's because of God. God is my witness against me. If this is the reason why, it was to spare you that I refrain from coming to Corinth. Remember, Paul is being accused of just not wanting to fool with him because he didn't care about him. Paul is being, his credibility is being cut up, is being challenged by these false apostles that he writes with a lot of conviction and bold, but he's really just a little man, and he's face-to-face. He's kind of a coward. And his apostleship is really on trial is what it is, which means the power of God, the gospel is all at stake here. And Paul has told them, and he's made clear to them, that the travel plans is a very simple issue. The travel plans is because I seek the Lord. I want to follow Him. I don't walk according to the flesh, and I follow Him. And when He says go, I go. And when He says hold up, I try to hold up. And He says here, He says, but I call God to witness against me. And I've shared this with you that was to spare you, that I refrained from coming to you, to Corinth. Now, what does He mean, I have to spare you? Why is He saying that? Because He's come to Corinth one time, and He had a surprise visit. Because He got word that there was a problem brewing from these false apostles. And He came to kind of set things straight. And when He did, it was a very hard time. It was a very painful experience for Him. Because he spoke truth. He challenged them in their commitment to Christ and their challenge to walk in obedience according to God's will. And he called a spade is what He did. And when He did that, it caused friction. It caused heartache for a lot of these people. And Paul now had traveled on to Macedonia, had come back through and gone to Ephesus, and he's waiting for Titus. He's waiting to hear as Titus has delivered this severe letter that he wrote, that he talks about and even some people think he's writing first, talking about 1 Corinthians. I think it's about the severe letter, this hard letter that he wrote with anguish and tears, calling them to repent, calling them to return to the Lord and to trust Him and to see me as an apostle sent by Jesus Himself to share the good news and to talk to important about these important issues for you. So first off, we see in this, because of God's establishing work, Paul was a prayerful man. And I think about that. He's calling God as his witnesses. I think because he said Paul spent time in prayer. Most of his letters says, I pray for you. I don't cease praying for you. Paul walked not according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. So one of the first things we're going to look at is because of God's establishing work, you know, he knew that he was to follow God. And he was to walk in God's will. And so he would spend time in prayer. And so when he subpoenas God as his witness, he's saying that I'm taking an oath. I'm summoning God to before you to say that this is what I've done. I've changed plans to spare you. Why? To spare you this hard meeting again. It's like my child, I told you last week, when I go and I confront them and I tell them this is what's going to happen. And we have this come to Jesus meeting. And it's not easy for them. And it's not easy for me. And then I back away and I trust them to do the things that they know they're supposed to do. And when they're not doing it as fast as I want them to do it, I want to go back. And sometimes the flesh wants me to go back and say, man, let's just go and get this over with. Y'all in trouble. But what I really want to do is I want to be a patient, kind, loving father to give them a little time to make the decisions they're going to make. They know what to do. They've heard. They know my heart. Now they just got to do it, right? It's kind of like the coach that loves his team. They're just not getting it. It's hard being patient sometimes. But since God is doing the work of establishing, Paul was prayerful for the people. And secondly, that leads to my next point. Paul was very patient. Now, why could he be patient? Because he says God is establishing us with you. Paul knew God had been patient with him. Amen. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy. He said it's because of God's great power and work in my life that he basically shows that he can work in anybody's life. He's able to work in do an amazing work in your life because he worked in my life. Paul said God was merciful to me and patient with me. Here I think he's wanting to be patient with these people. But why can he be patient? We talked about it last week. God is establishing, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ. Do we trust God or do we trust God? Do we trust God or do we want to manipulate and do we want to coerce and do we want to try to mold something into what we want it to be for our vain glory? Or do we want to see the Almighty God, the Sovereign Lord, ruling and reigning in hearts? Because why? Because He has anointed us, which means He has given us His Spirit in that we have been empowered to do the work He is equipping us to do. There's a powerful imagery here of this anointing and the kings and the Old Testament of priests and God's setting apart people for His specific purposes. We talked about that last week. Secondly, And who has also put his seal on us. Remember this protection, this ownership, this authority, this branding iron has been sealed on God's people, like you would take a cow and you would take your brand and you would, this R&R, this setting this cow aside is, this is my cow. This seal. Remember the hot wax, and this owner would take the signet ring and he would seal it down in this important document to show that it was ownership, it was protected, it was mine. God has sealed us. And then thirdly, he says he's given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Because he's done these things, Paul is prayerful and Paul is patient because God is working. Paul says, I'm your partner. Paul is showing great humility right here. Look back at the text. Paul looks back at the text. I must have been ready to preach this morning. I didn't even want to open my notes, man. I was just ready to go with you guys. I don't need these notes, right? God is my witness, it's to spare you that I refrain from coming again to Corinth. And then he says, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy. If Paul tries to manipulate these results, what's he going to do? He's going to get something that may not be authentic. He's going to get something that looks fake. Thank God Anna's patient with me sometimes. If she tries to get me to jump through a bunch of hoops, I sometimes may jump through them, but she knows I'm kind of hard-headed. So Anna probably spends a lot of time praying for me. I think the Apostle Paul was saying, look, I'm prayerful, I'm patient, because I'm your partner. Now, he could pull his apostleship card, and he could lay the love down, and he could talk to them about what they need to do because God has given them his authority to speak to them on these terms. But Paul wanted to be gracious and merciful to them because he had experienced mercy. Back to the simple fact of looking at a relationship with one another. We have to be patient, right? There were certain things that I was praying for Anna about one time. Like I said, I can pick on her because, I don't know, she can pick on me a lot too, and this is not picking on her. But do you ever see a problem with your spouse and you say, how in the world am I going to deal with it? What can I do? I mean, I can't really, there's certain ways you've got to approach it. There's a way you got to handle it because, you know, if you handle it wrong, it's going to blow up on you and it's going to create more division and it's caused more problems. So how do you do? What do you do? First off, you better have a heart of love. And I think Paul right here is saying, that's what he's fixing to go to this next verse. He says, the reason I didn't come to you the second time is because I wanted to write this letter to you. With great tears and anguish of heart, I wrote this divine letter that was what came to me from God to you because I love you. And as I pray for Anna, as I come to her and I see maybe something that hey, we gotta come to terms with, we gotta work together in. And she comes a lot, she sees a lot that she needs to work on with me too, by the way, that I need to work on. But if there's something that I look at and I say, what am I gonna do? I begin to pray. God, you got to deal with this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. I can't even say anything about it. It's going to blow up in my face. It's going to backfire. It's going to cause hurt. It's something that I've already tried to deal with. Some of you know where I'm going, you know what I'm talking about. But God, you love her more than I love her. God, you care about her. We're all works in progress. We're partners. I have to be patient with her. She has to be patient with me. But God, you need to do this, and you've got to do it. And there's one certain thing that I'm thinking about, and God was so faithful and gracious to work and move. And then when it happens, you know what? I say, thank you, God, you did it. Now, I could have gone to her and I could have done like Hal Lee. No, I'm just kidding. I could have laid the fish. I could have laid. This is the way, Miss Jane Ann, I'm just kidding. I'm getting in trouble here. She said, no, you're not. So I could have said, this is the way it's going to be. And I could have tried to control it. And guess what? It wasn't going to happen because I'm hard-headed, but that girl right there can be pretty hard-headed too. She's grinning. She won't be grinning when she talks to me later. But because of God's establishing work, let's be prayerful. Let's be patient. It stems from love. Paul says, as God is my witness, I'm not vacillating. I'm not a coward. I'm not wishy-washy. I'm not yes and no and yes and no and determining my actions by when I wake up in the morning. Paul was very, which is going to move to my next point. Not only was Paul not only was he prayerful, and not only was he patient, he was their partner in humility and their partner in the faith. God had been patient with him, but he was very purposeful. Paul was very purposeful in what he did. Now, when it works, it works. The peas were kind of flowing. All right? Prayerful, patient. He was their partner. He loved them. God was gracious to him. After all, what we're talking about here is Paul is talking about the gospel. The gospel is taking shape in people's hearts, and they're being conformed to the image of Christ. And so Paul could write with confidence. Paul could be patient because Paul knew somebody that was in charge of all things, and he knew if he got in the middle of it, and he knew that if he tried to put his fleshly plans in it, what was going to happen? We were going to go awry. But if God is authoring it, if God is establishing, if God is working, if we are prayerful, if we are patient and we work together, he's establishing us with you in Christ. And the establishing is being in Christ. And so when you see the title and it says God's work of establishing, establishing what? You in Christ. That's what is happening here. He says, God is my witness. I wanted to spare you and refrain from coming. He says again to Card, not that we lord it over your faith. That's important right there now, because there's a lot of charlatans and false prophets. And man, it seems like since the beginning of time, or beginning of religion, which is, I guess, probably since the beginning of time, there's people that want to control other people. We see this in society. We see this from every angle, from a employer-employee relationship to just gross sins of the past, such as slavery and sex slaves and that type stuff. The evil of men's heart is wanting control and power, and oftentimes this results in pushing a group down and elevating oneself. There were people coming in this church, these false apostles, and they had slick, flattery tongues. They could quote rhetoric and philosophy, and they could carry a certain perception that really appealed to the flesh of the people in Corinth. And what that began to do, it began to discredit Paul's apostleship, in that he's not really who he says he is, even to where they say he don't have proper letters of recommendation, which Paul goes to 2 Corinthians 3, and he says, look, that's why he starts talking about it. And he says, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts. He says, to be known and read by all. He says, and you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And I wanted to read that because that's going to be important down the road in the message as we continue on. Paul says that God's work of establishing you is my letter of recommendation. Because you are being transformed, in a minute it speaks to say, from one image of glory into the image of Christ, being transformed into this image of Christ, which I think brings the unity. At the end of this passage, what is Paul's goal in writing to them? What is Paul's goal in waiting and being patient with them and being prayerful? Paul wants, in my mind, best I can work it out, Paul's really wanting three things here. He's wanting purity of this church. There's some sin in the camp. And Paul is writing to them, and he's waiting to get a result to see if God is working in hearts to where people are going to repent from their sin. This altercation he's had with this one other gentleman, and it's happened, and he's asked the church to deal with them in church discipline, because this man is following the false apostles, and he is actually discredited also Paul's apostleship, and has rose up against Paul. There's evidently been a real serious meeting. Paul's asked the church to deal with it, and he's going to wait until he hears something positive before he goes back. He says, because you don't need me coming back again with a whip. He says, I need to be gracious. God is working, and I believe that this is the true brother in the Lord. He's going to repent. And Paul believes, he speaks to write, remember, such confidence. Who's establishing? God's establishing. So he's wanting purity. Secondly, he's wanting unity. The gospel will bring about purity. The gospel will bring about unity. And lastly, just simple, this is just me. I'm sure you can find other things he's wanting. He's wanting them to deal with sin, because God is holy and the church is set apart, anointed, sealed, given the Spirit as a guarantee. The church should be holy. It should look like Christ. And lastly, purity. And then we said unity. And then he just wants them to walk in obedience. He wants them to be who they're called to be. So at the end of the day, Paul is talking about this establishing work. He's saying, God is my witness. I've been prayerful. I've been patient. And just when I say being prayerful, some of you say, where do you get prayer out of that? He says, but I call God to my witness. If I'm calling God to be my witness, basically I think he's saying, God and I, we've talked about this. I've got God's heartbeat on this, that God is leading me and guiding me, and I've consulted him, and he's leading me. He's been patient. He says, I wanted to spare you. He's been a partner. He said, I didn't want to lord it over you like some of these false prophets were doing. He says, we don't want to lord it over your faith. He says, but we work with you. We work with you for your what? Joy. That's another reason. Actually, my notes are up now. I've got them open, but then they're upside down. I'm going to turn them around here in a second. That's another thing that's important. He wants purity. He wants unity. But when you have purity and unity, when the gospel is doing its work, you're going to have fullness of joy. And that's what he says here. He says, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. Now, why are they standing firm in the faith? Because they are being established. They've been anointed. They've been sealed. They've been given the Spirit of God. And so they are standing firm. Now, yeah, they've got problems. They've got some issues. Lastly, as I told you, Paul's very purposeful. So he's patient, and he says, I'm your partner with you in faith. And he says, you'll see these from these verses, and I want to read chapter 2. If you look at chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, Paul was very, very purposeful in what he was doing. He had a plan. He wasn't flying by the seat of his pants. 2 Corinthians 2, 1 through 4. For I made up my mind. Listen to the personal pronouns in this. You've been hearing this. I told you that 2 Corinthians is almost like Paul's journal. He's just giving us a big glimpse into his heart and his mind and his care for people and his love for ministry. Paul is not trying to drive them. You know, a heart of a shepherd, you know what a shepherd does? A shepherd leads the sheep. A lot of times people think that sheep are to be, you get behind the sheep and you kind of run around like cows and you try to, I picked on Mike last week. I'm picking on Hal this week, but I'm looking at some of my people that dealt with cows. I don't have a lot of experience dealing with cows, but I know that I've got a friend, and he's called me recently several times to come and help him get some cows to a certain point. And I notice anytime you start running at a cow, that cow, he don't really do very well sometimes. So what we first try to do is you try to get a bucket and you try to lead that cow. If that don't work, then you maybe try to walk up closely and just kind of walk around behind the cow real inconspicuously, right? Just kind of, I'm sure you got to carry a certain attitude, Bob, when you're dealing with cows. And because cows are probably like dogs. They read your emotions and what you're doing and they're smarter than we think they are. So you're trying to get this cow to do a certain thing. There's certain tactical ways you have to go about doing it. But when you start really trying to take a whip and run at a cow or drive a cow, and if it's a stubborn cow, it really usually don't respond well. Well, that's why I think Paul is trying to, as a shepherd with love in his heart, trying to lead these people. The shepherd leading the sheep back in the day would walk out in front of the sheep. John 10, the sheep hear my voice. They come to me. There's this imagery of this good shepherd who is God our Father, and Jesus calling himself the good shepherd also. They hear. They know that the good shepherd's got good intentions. He cares. He loves. He wants to feed. He wants to nourish. He wants to nurture. And so the shepherd would be out in front of the sheep, protecting, looking, warning. And then he would go back. There were certain things he would do to care about the sheep. And looking at Paul's being patient with these people, He's loving them and He's caring about them and He's leading them. Now here's what we've got here. When I say that He's purposeful, look at the point, right? Look at back at the text here. It says, "For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you." It says, "For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did." Paul says, look, "I wrote as I did." Why? "So that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you, that my joy would be the joy of you all." Do you see his heart there? He said, "I wrote as I did." How did he write? Glad you asked. Look at the next verse. "I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." Do you hear the voice of the tender shepherd leading and caring for those he loves so dearly? He says, "If I come to you and I cause more pain, who's going to give me joy? You know, I should be joyful of you, and God's working in your hearts and lives." And he said, "So this is why I wrote hard letters. This is why I wrote very difficult things for you to read and process. Because when I come to you, I should see joy. I should see unity. I should see repentance." Those are the three things, and that's really what, when I talk about walking with Christ in obedience, isn't that the fullness of joy? So when we talk about these goals of Paul, when he comes to see them, he desires purity. He desires unity, and that's what he expects. And he knew that it wasn't time yet. They're still fighting. They're still disciplining somebody. There's lack of repentance in areas. Now, when he hears word from Titus, and he will, 2 Corinthians 7, Titus brings good news. The brother has repented. Matter of fact, we're not going to get into this for time's sake into completely, but Paul continues his heart of a pastor and shepherd. He says, "Forgive the sinner. Be patient with the brother. Yeah, he made a mistake. He came against me. It didn't hurt me as bad as it hurt you because there was division." He says, "But you've punished him. He's been excommunicated. He hasn't been able to participate in the Lord's Supper. He felt the wrath of Satan, so to speak. He was disciplined by the church," and we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. He says, "But now," he says, "so you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, because this punishment by the majority is enough," he said. You still hear this heart of the shepherd. This punishment was enough. We've all erred. We've all made mistakes. He needs your love now. Forgive him. God was patient with you. Be patient with him. Offer forgiveness to this wayward brother. The prodigal son has come home. Why? Because God is establishing. That's why Paul didn't have to run down there and try to control something. That's why some kind of presbytery or pope or some type of council or some kind of governing body of churches that we set up to rule, it should be done with prayer and patience. The heart of a shepherd, love, seeking the goal of unity and purity and joy and repentance that the gospel will bring about if we pray and love and seek God. Because if this man has been established, if he's been established by God, if he's been given this gift, if he's been anointed, if he's been sealed, if he's been given the gift of the Spirit, he's a child of God and he just needs to be corrected. Just like my boy, just like my little girl, just like these teenagers, need a little correction sometime. We don't just kick them out and say, "Man, I can't believe they did that. We're done with you." That's not the heart of a loving, caring leader. God is so gracious. This was very possibly the same guy that was in the incestual relationship and bragging about sleeping with his dad's wife. But he's repented. There's forgiveness, guys. We need to hear that, don't we, guys? We need to hear that. We need to hear that God loves us. Julia sings about it and we speak it. But do we truly know God's love to the point to where we can love others with the same degree? We can forgive others with this same mess we see Him involved in. There's a right and a wrong way to care and love people. Paul's saying, look, don't be too harsh on him. And he goes on to say with this. He says, I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote. And this is another reason that Paul was writing this letter. He says, look at verse 9. He says, this is another reason why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Paul says, I'm going to see if you're going to pass the test. But he probably believes they will, because why? God is establishing. I wrote this letter to you to see if you'll pass, to see if you are going to be obedient in everything. Now here's what you need to do. Reaffirm your love for him. This was a big part of the letter, even though it's a few verses. This was important to Paul when he wrote this fourth letter to the Corinthian church. We call 2 Corinthians. This brother needs forgiveness. You need to be obedient. Look at verse 10. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. What I have forgiven, I have forgiven. He says, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Paul says, because you're being established, we got a real enemy, and you know how he works. And for you to be too harsh with this brother, you're letting Satan get more power and credit than he needs to get. We're being outwitted. You're falling captive to his designs. So forgive him. Show him love. Reaffirm your grace and affirmation to him. Bring him back in. Forgive him. You've punished him enough. Sometimes we want to be a little harsh, don't we? We want to be a little mean and over the top. Err on the side of being gracious. Merciful. Err on that side. See if we can wrap this up here. I'll go back to where I started as we try to wrap it up. Paul, his patience, his confidence, and his love came from a deep understanding and trust that God would apply His Word to the Corinthians. That He would apply it to their hearts and lead them by His Spirit. Paul was confident. Matter of fact, if you look over there in chapter 3, verse 4, he says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Paul was confident in Christ. And then it goes on to say, he says, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. He says, we are sufficient because of the sovereign Lord. He says, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Remember, we've been given the Spirit. So if we have the Spirit, there is a fullness of life. There is fruition. There's something happening. The letter brings death. Following a bunch of rules, and it just brings death. That's the problem with the Pharisees. But if Paul believed they had the Spirit, which he did believe, he did affirm that they were walking and standing in the faith, firm in their faith, then he believed life was there. He would further write, and he would also further write down here that over in chapter 3, in verse, talking about the Spirit, verse 17, after he went, and like I said, it's hard for me not, we're going kind of slow through 2 Corinthians, as you can tell, but I'm really studying way ahead. And if you look at verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Did you hear that? The Lord is the Spirit? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Paul didn't have to control. The Spirit was working. It says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You want unity? The gospel working in people's heart from the divine letter written by God is going to bring unity. The gospel brings unity. You want purity? This letter that God's written, the Spirit being applied, applying truth to these people's hearts, will bring repentance. It will bring restoration. It will bring purity. You want joy? You walk in purity and unity and you'll have the fullness of joy. Because the Spirit brings what? Life. Guys, life is good. I look at this beautiful flower down here and I see life. Right now, you look outside and you see a lot of deadness. They're still cold and we may get snow. But soon you'll see life budding. Life is beautiful. The Spirit of God in your heart with God establishing and the Spirit applying truth brings life. If you don't see life, you don't see the gospel at work in a person's heart. If repentance don't come, that's because the person is dead in their sins. If purity never comes forth, it's because they don't have a desire for purity. If you never see joy and repentance, it's because the Spirit is not working to bring life. 1 John deals with that. We talked about that last week. Paul is very merciful because he has received mercy and he knows God is working. He has heard the good news that a brother has repented of sin, and he asked the congregation to show him mercy and forgiveness. And Paul is planning to come soon. So in conclusion, the travel plans were very simple. Paul was prayerful. He followed God's Spirit, not his flesh. Paul was, what did we say? Anybody know the second P? He was prayerful. He was patient. That's right. Some of y'all knew that, even though I forgot it. He was patient. He was their partner. They walked in humility. Paul says, God is establishing us with you. And lastly, Paul was very purposeful. He says, I am writing. I've made up my mind. And then verse 9, he even says, for this is why I wrote. Paul had a plan. He knew what he was doing. God was directing him. He wasn't flying by the seat of his pants. And in this purpose, he knew that God was, what I love to say, that they were all being transformed into the same image. From one degree of another, one degree of glory to another. Some are being transformed to this image of Christ quicker than others. But it's because of the Lord who is the Spirit. I don't know about you guys, but this gives me confidence. We serve a big, patient, loving, gracious shepherd God, Lord, sustainer of the universe. And He loves you. And He's got a plan for you. I hope that you will experience His love and that you will be gracious and patient with others as He is establishing you. And as He is establishing me. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You are faithful and that You are working. I thank You so much, Father, that You are our good shepherd and that You know exactly what we need before we need it. God, I thank You that when we are running wildly on our own, You are still patient with us. As Paul would say that, Lord, they would face even suffering so that even in their suffering, they could comfort others who face suffering. Lord, there's this unity that comes from being children of God. There's this unity of being born of the Spirit and the gospel taking root in our life brings us together. Help us to be patient and loving and caring to one another as You have been patient and loving toward us. Thank You, Father, that You are establishing us and making us, transforming us into the image of Christ. Help us to love You and to serve You with all of our heart and to rely and depend upon You in all things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, Brother Vaughn?